darkness at thy speaking, it was done.
Welcome to Sermons from Zion Lutheran Church of Gwinner, North Dakota. Zion Lutheran Church is committed to the message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, for the church and the world. The following sermon is from Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard.
A reading from 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and depraved of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. O Lord, have mercy on us. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God's design for life begins with perfect fear, perfect love, and trust in Him. This perfect fear and this perfect love and trust in Him, they function like a foundation to a perfectly built house. Everything else rests upon this sure foundation. Then comes the use of God's name, followed by gladly hearing and learning His word. The themes in the second and the third commandments function like the structure of the house, the framework, if you will. Our house metaphor, it also needs walls and windows, doors, and maybe some decorations too. This is where the gifts of authority, life, a good reputation, marriage, contentment, and possessions come into play. These gifts become the walls and the windows and the doors and the decorations of our foundation and structure, thus completing our house. Indeed, the gifts of authority, life, marriage, a good reputation, and so forth, they flow out of this perfect fear and love and trust in the Lord. Now, as previously mentioned in previous sermons, the commandments are the Lord's protection of His gifts. These Ten Commandments, they function like protective fences for God's gifts. The first commandment, second and third commandments, they all seek, these first three, they seek to protect the foundation and structure, whereas commandments 4 through 10, they function to protect the walls and the doors and the windows and the decorations. Together, all the Ten Commandments guard the Lord's good and perfect gifts to and for us. The commandments, they guard God's house, this design of how life ought to be. Tonight, though, we will be focusing on the remaining three commandments of our six-part series, the seventh, the ninth, and the tenth commandments. In other words, we're going to be focusing on the gifts of possession and the gift of contentment. Indeed, returning to our house metaphor, we will be looking at the remaining doors and windows of our house, this house that represents God's perfect design for life. Now, like the fifth and eighth commandments, the seventh and the ninth and the tenth commandments have a little bit of overlap as well. The ninth and the tenth commandments state, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his cattle, nor anything else that is his." The seventh commandment states, "Thou shalt not steal." In other words, coveting happens when the gift of contentment is attacked by our sinful nature, and this coveting, it can fuel and lead to the breaking of the seventh commandment, stealing. That is to say, coveting is having a sinful desire for anyone or anything that belongs to our neighbor, and if left unchecked, however, this coveting will lead to robbery, to theft, or dishonest ways of getting that which we covet, thus breaking the seventh commandment of stealing as well. Truly, the Lord is all about protecting the gifts of material possessions and the gifts of contentment. They need protection because of our hearts and because of the tactics of the evil one. Yes, from our heart proceeds all evil thoughts, such as coveting. This covetous heart is exposed, and it's ensnared by the ninth and the tenth commandments, though. These two commandments on coveting will catch us every single time. These commandments are directed precisely at the most upright, good, and religious people. But just when you think you've kept all the commandments, along comes the commandments, don't covet, do not covet. In the other commandments, God, he deals with our actions. In the ninth and tenth, he actually zeroes in on your heart and your desires. With these two, as well as with the others, God is protecting our neighbors from ourselves. Coveting, yes, it is looking to get what God did not give you. In other words, don't let your eyes grow hands. That's what we do when we actually covet. We are saying that we are not content with what God has given us, so we look to our neighbor's things or blessings or reputation. If only I could get my hands on some of that, we say to ourselves. Coveting happens. It does. It happens all the time. But no matter where or when it happens, the sin is the same. We have a problem being content with what God has given us, whether it's a house or spouse, goods or kids. Simply put, when we long for honor and wealth, happy life, or what seems to be the ease of the lives of others, we are coveting. When we become stingy and self-indulgent with our money so that we can try to keep up with the Joneses, we are coveting. When we live with grudges and a fist full of discontentment about what we should have got and what we're supposedly deserving and how others shouldn't deserve their gifts, we are coveting. When we have wanted our neighbor's spouse, our neighbor's property and possessions, or if we attempt to win the affections of our neighbor's spouse or children away from our neighbor, we are coveting. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it that the ninth and tenth commandments, they shine a light, the light of truth on us, good and religious people. God's law shows us as the malcontents we really are. And amazingly, it all goes back to the first commandment. We really do not trust God and how he chooses to take care of us. As you can see, these evil, covetous thoughts not only erode at our contentment, but these covetous thoughts are like hot embers. They are hot embers that are fanned by the evil one in order that they will catch fire. When they catch fire, the flame attacks other people through robbery and theft and getting things in dishonest ways, thus leading us tonight to the seventh commandment. This commandment, the seventh commandment, it has to do with taking advantage of our neighbor in any way that makes them lose something. As with the other commandments, with this one, God is protecting your neighbor from you because he knows how we can be tempted to look at what our neighbor has and make plans to take it. Granted, you and I, we probably wouldn't do it outright like a common thief, but stealing happens more commonly and more innocently than you might think. God counts it as stealing when we are lazy in our work or at school. He considers it stealing because we are taking time and materials from our employer or our teacher. God also counts it as stealing when we overcharge someone for something or we try to get something for far less than what it's worth. We steal when we fail to care for the property in the neighborhood, the school property, the church property, so that it is improved. We steal when we do not help our neighbor in his needs. We steal when we work for ourselves rather than for Christ and the benefit of our neighbor. And yes, it is also stealing when we hold tight-fisted to our finances, becoming stingy in our giving back to the Lord, when we withhold our thank offerings from the offering plate. Dr. Luther said in the Large Catechism that thievery is the most common craft in the largest guild on the earth, and we have all practiced that craft one time or another. Instead of stealing, God's design is to help your neighbor improve and protect their possessions and their income. Love looks out for its neighbor, and it looks out for your neighbor's benefits, not its own. Truly, God is gracious enough to give each of you exactly what you need with your needs, not necessarily your wants. Yes, when your needs are met and not necessarily your wants, you're freed up to help and serve your neighbor. God always gives us the money and the possessions we need, especially in America, so we don't have to worry about taking what belongs to our neighbor. In fact, the wealth and the possessions, whether great or little, are gifts, all gifts from God, so that you may bless others with what you have been given. With all this stated in regard to the 7th and the 9th and the 10th commandments, we find ourselves again at the end of our ropes, like last week and the week before and the week before that and the week before that, convicted of sin, no way out, mouths shut, at wit's end, and spiritually bankrupt. It is most definitely true that the holy and divine and good and salutary law of God not only protects his gifts and reveals sin, but when it is proclaimed, it also has a way of stopping us dead in our tracks. It catches us red-handed and points a finger at us and says, guilty. Guilty as charged. This is actually all very much needed. And believe it or not, it is actually very good. It is very good. Otherwise stated, it is good when we are stripped down and shown for what we are. Naked, frantically grasping for fig leaves, poor, damned, miserable sinners. This is healthy, and it is a good place to be. Otherwise stated, this is right where we need to be, especially this week before Holy Week. Yes, when the law shows us that there is no way out by our own reason or strength, we're actually being prepared to hear about the only way out. We are being prepared to hear about what the Lord thinks and says and does to and for us. Truly, the only way out of this is by God's giving and forgiving, namely in his word and sacraments, delivering the benefits of Holy Week to us. Dear baptized saints, you who have ears, blessed baptized saints, you who have ears, hear. In Jesus Christ, you have a gracious God who provides for you in his death and resurrection. In Jesus, you have forgiveness. You are forgiven. The debt has been canceled, and you have been gifted every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. Indeed, the Holy Week gift, the Holy Week gift the Lord has given to you is that he has met your greatest need and desire, as well as giving you the proof and promise that he will always see to your needs, both body and, yes, soul. Now, believe it or not, yes, believe it or not, that's it. That's it. We've finished 6 weeks of rehearsing and relearning God's design for life and the Ten Commandments, though somewhat abbreviated at times. It hasn't been anything too flashy or entertaining, and it wasn't supposed to be, because the Ten Commandments themselves are not flashy. They are rooted in the simple everyday actions of faith in God, and love towards our neighbor. They are these protective fences to protect God's gifts. They come from God himself, and they reveal to us his perfect will for our lives. They show us where we fall short and sin against God and neighbor, and they lead us to see our need for Holy Week and our need for the God-man Jesus Christ, his dying and rising for us. Undeniably, these Ten Commandments, they prepare us to hear about the all-availing sacrifice for sinners, Jesus Christ, who not only takes away the sin of the world, but also, my friends, fulfilled the law perfectly for you and in your place. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast sermon. You can access a full manuscript of today's sermon from Pastor Matthew Richard's blog at www.pastormattrichard.org or visit Zion Lutheran Church's website at www.ziongwinner.org. The Lord bless and keep you.